So here we are. We are March 9th, PM service. We are looking at Paul's partnership, which I had to find the letter P, Sam. I had to find the letter, it's actually looking at fellowship, but I had to have the letter P to make it fit, you know, so that's what this is all about. And this morning, what we're looking at here is we're actually going down the road of, even though all things are lawful, and we do have those strings attached, you know, we have the judgment seat of Christ coming up, there is something else we need to deal with, and I never talked much about this over the years, but I'm seeing it now in more detail scripturally, which will give me a lot more confidence to deal with it, knowing that this has to be dealt with as a sincere Christian. And people do have a hard time when we tell them, well, yeah, all things are lawful. Well, some things are not expedient. They need to edify. It can't be an occasion to the flesh, and they can't cause somebody to stumble. And, you know, there's another, I can't remember it all of a sudden. So those things are important. And you know I talk about the walk more than anything else, and this, but this is not so much that as it is a fellowship situation. And do we lose fellowship? Well, that's what I'll show you when we get done here. We'll talk about that so people can't get all uptight and up scared and everything. But we talked about this morning, we talked about the misconceptions about music. I felt like we needed to do that. We've been over them before, but we've never labeled them as such. Scriptural misconceptions of music. But then I get an email today from one of our new regular listeners who's dealing with that within the family, their children and all, their grown-up children. And it just hits the way you would say it. It just fits the situation exactly. There you go. So we were talking about misconceptions of music this morning. And how, and the importance of it is because I see that the music, the listening to music, whether it be hymns or personal music or even classical music or whatever it is we talked about this morning, it has taken over absolutely everything in people's lives. They can't even play a game without some kind of music going on. And there's something behind that music. It's rhythmic oriented. It means it appeals to the flesh. But even the music that doesn't appeal to the flesh, we learn from Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar that Satan will use all kinds of music to get him to follow him. So we know that. So this music that's taken over everything, it's everywhere. It's all kinds. It seems to deal with us physically, mentally, and spiritually, according to Saul or 1 Samuel 16. We dealt with that. We have the Spirit of God. That's one thing other people don't have. That we have, so we shouldn't be letting music take control of us like we do. And people think that God likes it all. It's neutral. God doesn't hate any certain kind of music. We proved that against this morning. It's bringing numbers into the church. It's getting teenagers misguided. It's getting them coming to church or teen group or whatever. It's a great way to ecumenicalize worship. People can all get together and worship. They can actually just, doesn't matter about doctrinal issues. It just doesn't. And they can get their CDs. They can get their professional groups to come in. They can get their family groups. They can get their sheet music to each other. All genres. I mean, it's all available, and they all do it in the worship. And is that okay to God? I mean, it means you care. No, we've proven that scripturally as well. And we did see, though, that music can teach us. It's not a wrong thing. We're being taught through music. It's just a fact that when he says, you know, that evil communication thing, beware of evil communication, you know, it's going to corrupt us because it'll teach us that stuff, too. It can be used to teach the right stuff according to Paul in Ephesians and Colossians. So anyway, my whole point was, is we're going to be looking at fellowship or partnership, you know, and this closeness that we are to have with God and we can have, then we have to deal with this music thing. So we have. We've dealt with it. It should be something that people should be able to deal with. See, here's the problem there for our listener that really wants to hear this as they listen to it later, is, again, the hardest lesson for me to learn as a pastor or a person who cares or whatever is that people have to get out of the snare of the devil themselves. and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So, I had my brother wrote to me the other day and said he was amazed at how the little kids that I work with and how they're doing what they're doing. He says, you must get a sense of accomplishment or whatever. I forgot what he said. Watching such young people accomplish so many growth things with music. And my comment back was, well, yeah, there's a lot of joy involved, but I'll tell you, what I'm starting to recognize now that I'm working with littler kids, I'm starting to see these little kids, fourth and fifth graders, for example. There's always the second, third graders, too, but the fourth and fifth graders especially. I see them start out as just nice kids, really wanting to do this and do that, and as I see them growing up, I see the world or their peers or the bullies or the bad teachers or the good teachers or whatever, the horrible home situation actually spoiling and kind of in the process of destroying those kids. That part of it I don't like. And that's something you'll see if you stay through all, like I do pre-K through 12. And if I live long enough, I'm going to have to teach until I die in the classroom. No retirement possibilities. But I'll be able to see these third and fourth graders that are really nice. Oh, there's just a good bunch of third and fourth graders. Fabulous voices. Good kids. Oh, it's amazing. All the way to seniors, I'll be curious. I've never done that before. I've always left after 3 years in a school, moved onward and upward, took the big pay cuts, and got a better job. And anyway. So this one, I'll be staying here until these kids are grown up, and it'll be very interesting, and I'm sure it'll be very sad for me to see what these kids are probably going to end up going to. Okay, so that's music. So now tonight, let's deal with what Paul says about fellowship. And then we will look into yoga. I mentioned yoga this morning. Just to give me the confidence, I'm not talking to an airspace here. Somebody say, yes, you can still hear me. Is the sound coming through? Because if it's not coming through, I'm not recording it either. So I have to make sure it is going through here. Yep, okay, so we'll just keep on going here. And everything should be working fine. Okay, so now let's look at this fellowship thing. And I'm not talking about a fellowship such as a group of people being a fellowship. You know, people don't want to be called a church. They'd rather be called non-denominational, which makes it a denomination. I didn't take long to see that over the years. And the group they're with is called a fellowship. They like to do that sort of a thing. But no, we're talking about 1 Corinthians 1:9, for example. God is faithful. By whom? Ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we can have this fellowship. And I read the fellowship this morning. It's a good definition from the old 1828. And it says, marked by ready communication and mutual understanding in relationship of those who show similar interests. So we can have that with God. And the reason I wanted to kind of deal with that definition is because in Hinduism, yoga. Here's their definition of their yoga stuff. It's a philosophy aiming at the mystical union of the self with the supreme being in a state of perfect spiritual insight, complete awareness, and tranquility through certain physical and mental exercises. Other than the certain physical and mental exercises, that first part is exactly what we can have with God himself. We can actually have the union of ourself with God, the Creator, the risen Savior Jesus Christ, and actually kind of through Paul, but, you know, in a state of complete awareness. We can have complete awareness. We can have that perfect spiritual insight. It takes time. It takes years. The Bible's got it there for us. And tranquility. That's a marvelous thing. And the reason I've even considered this stuff here recently is because I've had some opportunities to just rest. And I'll tell you, nothing feels better than feeling better. And I've been doing more resting than anything. I am popping a pain pill again, but that rest has been absolutely fabulous. Maybe it helps to have my little dog next to me, and I feel that warmth a little bit, and we just sleep and sleep and sleep. But I've had a chance to lay there, and I think about stuff. And we know that thinking is meditating. And we will talk more about the meditation later, but it's a fantastic opportunity as you grow older. And we learned what we've learned over these years with our teaching and preaching here and our Bible reading and things that we've all talked about and everything. We got some fantastic, splendid, magnifical things to consider, to meditate on. And that just got me thinking about meditation. Maybe I should take a certain position when I'm meditating. I'll put my arms out straight. Well, that won't last about 10 seconds. My left arm is killing me without the pain pill. Maybe, we'll talk about that. What's the point of all that stuff? Is it conscious? Yeah, anyway. But see, we can have that kind of closeness. And what Paul even tells us to meditate on, we'll get into the meditation thing later. But what we're looking at now is a fellowship. And see, again, this music has destroyed fellowship between so many people and God himself. I used to say years ago that music has replaced the Word of God in the churches. Well, it has. Music has replaced the Word of God in a personal life. Yes, well, it has. And now it's obvious to me that music has actually robbed people of their fellowship, stepped in between their fellowship and their Savior, if they even have the right Savior based on their music kind of stuff. Everybody thinks that music is their salvation. Anyway, yeah, there's more to talk about. I can always find stuff to talk about music. So tonight, let's look at this. We are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So when all else goes sour, you know, I've said this before to so many people, when you lay down at night and you put your head on your pillow, turn the heating pad on so it makes that shoulder feel better, slide the dog up there next to you and just kind of lay there and think. Don't play computer games. Don't play iPhone games or iPad games or whatever. And don't play your music, which is there's gorgeous music out there. And, just lay down and just start thinking about whatever it is that's going to come to your mind. And you're going to find yourself fellowshipping with the God of this universe, the Savior himself. That's a marvelous thing. So what does Paul say about this fellowship thing? Well, first, let's look at Acts 2:42. We're going to Acts chapter. Well, that's not a Paul verse. Yeah, I know it's not. It's an absolutely fantastic verse, though, because it tells us what we aren't supposed to be doing, which is what everybody else is doing. Acts 2:42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." Well, we're not looking at the apostles' doctrine. We're not looking at having fellowship with the apostles. We're having fellowship, we actually spend our fellowship back and forth here with Paul as we read from him, but our fellowship takes us to the risen Savior. And the apostles' doctrine is not to the risen Savior. That's a classic verse, Acts 2:42. That whole Acts chapter 2 right there, just winging my thing here. That is just a serious thing. Why people don't get it. That's going back to the early church, Look at verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls," about 3,000 souls. Well, if we want numbers, let's go to this stuff. And let's stay in the apostles' doctrine, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and early Acts. "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles," which the Bible says Satan's going to be doing during this dispensation of grace, and then into the tribulation too. "And all that believed were together, and had all things in common," had all things common, "and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all." Boy, is this not the tele-evangelists? Is this not the preachers and pastors today? "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." And here's the kicker. We're off the trail here for a minute. "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And so there's what people want. They want God to add to the church daily, so they go into the apostles, because this is what this says. I know that's what it says. But that's not to us. That's to the Great Commission. That is not to us. Paul is the apostle. And you know the rest of the story. So we don't want to have fellowship with the apostles and their doctrine. We don't want to have fellowship with anybody who's preaching and teaching the apostles' doctrine other than historically. It can't be, well, I don't mean we should ignore it and have it not be learned. We should still learn it, know what it was for, know who it applies to, be aware of the whole thing, Genesis to Revelation. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? There's that fellowship. How is it that we can fellowship with the righteous and the unrighteous? Are we righteous? Well, God has made us righteous. He imputes his righteousness to us, so we understand that. But our day-to-day walk is pretty unrighteous, as apparently Paul had that same challenge, you know, battle the flesh and the mind, that kind of a thing. So where is our fellowship at? Well, how do we deal with this fellowship mixed up? Well, Paul dealt with it by saying, man, I just want out of this body. I'm just a wretched man. I want out of this body. So we understand the frustration and the sincerity that Paul had. If we go to Galatians chapter 2:9, here's another one, by the way. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. There's that right hand of fellowship thing, see? No secret handshake like the Mormons and other people have. That we should go unto the heathen, that's the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision. Two different roads to go down. So there's that little thought that ties along there with Acts 2:42. Then we go to 3:9, chapter 3, verse 9. Here we go. And to make, this is Paul, one of Paul's purposes, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Guess I better go to there myself, read a couple more verses here. Ephesians 3. I tell you, the book of Ephesians is worth meditating on, just thinking about. Ephesians 3. Let's just do Ephesians 3 from the beginning. This all just ties together. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you, Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me, that's Paul, the mystery, parentheses, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, so that's what we're trying to learn here, on parentheses, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, here we go, this is what's been revealed, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among you the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. There it is again, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And Bunny Trail is the modern Bible's takeout by Jesus Christ. So all these Christians who are into this Christian evolution stuff don't realize that their Bibles they use doesn't even support what they believe about creationism, but oh well. And then he goes on. So there it is. There's a fellowship that we get with Paul. Fellowship of the mystery. What's the mystery? Verse 6. And that's what we're part of. We're part of this whole mystery that's been revealed. So there's our fellowship. Okay, now, if we go to Ephesians 5:11, just down the page there, this will bring us back to 2 Corinthians 6 just for a moment here, where it says in Ephesians 5:11 that we are not to have, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, you put all this stuff together here so far. We've got how can fellowship, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? We are called into the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are, we see here that we are part of the fellowship of the mystery. We can see that. We see that we are not to have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. And we get this issue, we get this problem amongst ourselves as well. How do we do both? Well, that's your call. I think in some respects, that's why Paul says, if you really want to follow what I'm teaching, really want to follow me and follow the risen Savior, you best be single. You know, because otherwise you've got to provide need for various people, and that's not going to give you a chance to be all that involved. Got to keep that in mind, because we have to. That's what we get the judgment seat of Christ for, is to burn that stuff that we did and we shouldn't have done. We couldn't, didn't have to do, but we did kind of have to. We chose to do it, blah, 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 blah. He says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, starts right off with, let's go to verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, There's growth. There's a building of confidence. There's a building of maturity. There's growing up. And is that not what one of Paul's purposes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, I think, we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's us. That's what our fellowship brings to us. A closeness, a confidence, a security. Well, what else? Well, look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Let's skip that one until Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, because that 2-1 is going to be my kickoff for the next sermon here. Ephesians, we're looking at Philippians chapter 3. Of course, I told you the verse, you probably already read it. 3:10. Well, let's go back here to 7. Paul says, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, that little phrase right there for that person that wants to listen to this later, we've talked about the things that we have all lost and given up in our past, as we've given money or given time or efforts or whatever, jobs, I mean, you name it, you know, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. If that's why we have lost what we have lost is because of being the Paul-following Christian, see, when we first did those things, we thought we were doing right and we would be rewarded for it. Now we're finding out that we have wasted a ton of money, a ton of effort. The things that we have sacrificed, it was a total waste. And for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Fantastic couple verses in there. Again, something to think about, meditate on. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. See, knowing what we know, I mean, just look at it. We can understand that operation made without hands. Who's ever taught that? We can understand the first half of Romans 6, the second half of Romans 6 are two different segments of a chapter that basically says Christ didn't just get us to stop sinning. He got rid of the law. He took care of the law. No, look at what you know about music. Look at the challenges. Look at the frustrations now that you know. But still, look at what you know. Just go through these things. Look at Ephesians. Look at Philippians again. Just go through the things that you remember as you lay your head down on that pillow and you think about and you meditate on and you fellowship with the risen Savior, you know. And he says there's a fellowship of his sufferings. We have all suffered a few things because we've tried to do the right thing. We've tried to look to Timothy and Titus and try to enter those things into our day-to-day lives. Okay. And we paid the price for it. We suffered for it. I've tried to help 7 people. I've said this before. And now I'm down to 0 victories with 7 gone to kapui. There's disappointment in there. Look at what all that you've given up. Maybe the jobs are different. Maybe your locale is different because you just stayed with Paul best that you could. The best that you could, you know. The fellowship of his sufferings. That's what we're part of. And I've got to remind myself, as much as anybody else, that what I've lost over the years by staying with this and doing this, you know, the old Ruckman worldwide bash out of his newsletter, stuff like that, which affected everybody around me immensely. But for me, it's like, this is what happens. This is what happens when you stick with this Paul stuff, as I call it. And I don't mean just the Paul, I mean the Paul walk, the manner of life, which is what I think Paul is more important for us. Okay, so may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. We'll be headed the same thing. Okay, so with that in mind, by the way, if you look up the word fellowship in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, those kind of things, you find out that our fellowship can actually be kiboshed, stopped. Because if you're lying about loving your brother, we have fellowship. We have fellowship one with another if we walk in the light as he is in the light. But if we don't walk in the light, then we don't have that fellowship. And one of the things I've learned about these reward robbers is most of them believe that if you aren't doing the right thing, even though I don't hear them teaching the right thing out of Timothy and Titus, which is an interesting concept, not that I've listened to them all and got a great opinion here, whatever, you know, based on fact and experience, but I know a lot of them don't teach that stuff. But when somebody does mess up and goes off the deep end, they basically say, well, then they weren't a Christian. That's the direction they usually go. Those are the reward robbers. In other words, you should be just enjoying your day-to-day life with grace. And if you go off and do something wrong, then you probably weren't a Christian in the first place. And we'll talk about them one of these days in more detail. But anyway. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, for example, 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, which makes, it sounds good. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Well, see, they're taking this back to the walk of sinninglessness. And they don't understand what Paul really teaches about Romans chapter 6, how Christ took care of the law. We actually cannot walk in darkness. We can fellowship with it, we can be around it, but we can't walk in it because we've been separated. And it goes on and on. Fantastic stuff. Okay, so let's go to one more verse, and then we'll stop there because I want to carry this off and get a full message out of the next point of this 3-point thing here, which we'll pick it up again next Sunday, I guess. Boy, I sure do miss Wednesday nights, but when Wednesday night rolls around, I'm usually just out of it. Not going to happen. This week, Monday night, I've got from 2:30 to 10, I've got pep band, six kids in my pep band has to play for 4 girls regional basketball games. Tuesday morning, we have our choir festival with 9 kids going to a contest for their singing. And then Thursday night, I've got to do all the concessions myself on Thursday night for all 4 games. So I'm going to be kind of out of whack here pretty quickly. So we'll save this for next Sunday. But if it's Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. And this is the meat of the whole thing I'm trying to get across here. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, and it goes on. I just want you to concentrate on the words fellowship of the Spirit. And this is what we're going to get into a little bit when it comes to this meditation. It comes into, we've talked about what music can do for us, and we talk about the fact all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. What can we deal with here? And it has everything in the world, I hate that phrase, but it has everything to do with fellowship of the Spirit. And that's what we're going to deal with. And I'm going to do some more research, more reading about it, but I've never given that enough importance as we have learned to try to walk the right way, dress the right way, talk the right, all that kind of stuff I keep harping on over all these years. And then why is it that we crumble? Why is it that we blame God? Why do we say to God, why did he allow me to do that? Why did he allow this to take place in my life? And I hear so many people saying that. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that you've quenched and grieved the Spirit of God. We're not going to get chastised. We're not going to get punished. We're not going to get, beat on by God. We reap what we sow. And are we shutting down? Are we quenching the Spirit of God? Do we grieve? Well, it says, he says not to, so apparently we can. And what does that do to our day-to-day lives? And this is what I want us to remind ourselves of as we meditate about these great things. We have to remind ourselves that we've got the Spirit of God in us. And where we go, he goes. And what we hear, he hears. And da-da-da-da. And there has to be some grieving in there. It has to be some quenching. And as a result, do we make some of the decisions we make as a result of, or which causes things in our lives to be the way they are? And yet we still have the joy. We still have to remember all the stuff that Christ has done for us, da-da-da-da. So let's keep that. Let's put that in your little mind and think about those things during the week. And I kind of gave away the final sermon right there, so we'll talk about it. See, this music that we hear all the time, everywhere we go, constantly, it must grieve the Spirit of God. It must quench the Spirit. It must quench him in us. What do we turn on? What do we listen to? What do we watch? Where do we go? What do we see as Paul people? Do we have that conceit that the arrogant modern Christian has because they don't understand the thing with the Jews? Well, we do understand that. So anyway, we will talk about that more in detail on Sunday. So in the meantime, just I'll get this stuff out there for folks, and I'll try. I'm not even thinking of making notes on this one a little bit. Although, like I said, I shouldn't even say that. My week is like totally booked. But it isn't much longer, and school will actually be out. And so adios to the video world here.